This is an audio download from nondualityleicester.com. Please visit the website for more audio and non-duality resources and content.
What does the word non-duality point to?
Oh, it points to oneness, really. That everything is included in it. There's nothing, you cannot get outside of oneness or beingness. It's includes all and is all, and there's nothing that you can see that's not it. And so really, that's what it is, and that's what everybody's talking about when they talk about oneness. And non-duality, it's such a difficult expression, really, because it's used and abused in so many ways, because it's so difficult to talk about this stuff, because the moment that you speak, you're already making it dual, you know. But really, oneness is just... Well, it's everything. It's all and everything. It's the be-all and end-all, and it's everything. And it's, you know, when oneness is seen by no one, that there's everything included and nothing is being excluded, then seeking for an answer, seeking for home, seeking for peace, just falls away. And because of that, there's no practices that are being asked of here. There's nothing that you can do to see that which you already are.
What about real suffering, the sort of thing you see on the news every day, all around the world?
Yeah, it's like, you see, you could be watching the television and you see pictures and shapes and shadows, and that's all they are, pictures, shapes and shadows, of things appearing to be bad, and things in the news, or people being tortured or gunned down. But what's actually happening is that you're in the room, or being is the room and is in the room and is the television and the pictures of the suffering. If the part of being that is you goes to the television and kicks through the screen, there aren't any people suffering. So your idea of suffering is only your idea of something. It's your idea now of something happening in time. When you see it on the television, it's already happened anyway, but nothing has happened because nothing is really happening. The thing about being is it's both fixed in that it's utterly stable and solid, never changing, but on the same time, by paradox, there's constant flow and change. That's what's meant by the Zen expression, you can't put your hand in the same river twice, because you know, you can sit at the same spot by the river, but the water's always fresh and always new. So suffering is just like being hitting you over and over and over against your head, trying to show you that there's nobody there that's suffering. And why should there be suffering? Why should there be joy? Why should there be anything? Suffering's just another word, it's just another framework. There is in fact no suffering when this is seen, because there isn't any body, so there's no body that can be suffering. There are just thoughts of suffering, and they just arrive. They just arise one after the other. Nobody is having the thoughts. They're like bubbles, thoughts. They just arise and they burst and go back to nowhere. They've come from nowhere and go back to nowhere. But when you believe you're a person, then you automatically believe there are other people and that they can be hurt. They can be hurt or they can be scared. So therefore, there can be suffering.
Okay. So what about you? What motivates you to talk about non-duality?
It's pure love. It's pure love that just kind of bursts out it's being that there's nobody here that thinks I personally have something to say, because there's no person here. It just gets said. Things just come out to be said, and sometimes nothing gets said. Sometimes there's just long spaces of nothing, and then something gets said again. But it comes from a non-attached compassion, because there's nobody being compassionate. Nobody's thinking, oh, I love people so much, I've got to talk about this. It's so huge that it's love itself. Love is absolutely impersonal and totally limitlessly compassionate. And it's because it's impersonal that every apparent person can access it and can feel it. It's because of the nature of its impersonality. If love was personal, there would be some people, wouldn't there? There would be people, and there'd be some people that could feel the love, and some people that would be excluded from the love. It's the fact of its absolute impersonality. So it's just being expressing itself. It's nobody choosing to talk. You know, you could choose to do a talk and the talk gets cancelled. Being will either express itself this way or won't express itself. It seems that it's expressing itself this way is all I can say about it.
Is it sort of about being at one with everything?
Well, no, because that would mean that there would be people out there who could be at one with something. That there isn't any people to be at one with anything. There is only oneness, being, everything, and nothing, and no thing, because there are no things. There's just being. Being everything, being seen. So oneness is absolutely all in all, and contains and is everything.
Okay. So if this is available to everyone, as you say, why does it seem that some people see this and other people don't see this?
Well, there aren't any people that see this, and there aren't any people that don't see this. That's just in the appearance. That's again going back to the idea of there being separate people. And when apparent people are seeking this, that's the kind of belief that people trip themselves up with, by thinking that, there's a person over there that's special and they've got this, and then there's a person over there that hasn't, and then the mind comes in and gets terribly competitive about who's got it and who hasn't got it, and then we start in this complete cycle of being detached, because those who are detached, they think they've got it more than other people who are talking about going to Tesco's. You know, what's not seen is that going to Tesco's or going to a spiritual meeting neither have any relevance whatsoever, except at Tesco's you might get sausages, whereas if you go to a spiritual meeting you probably get a load of bloody rubbish. You get a lot of rubbish anyway, and you probably don't get sausages, at least not good beef ones. Anyway, I digress. You know, you see, the thing is, you've really got to laugh. To me, all this is about fun, and it's laughing. And what makes it fun is also the suffering. What makes it fun is absolutely every single thing is included in this. So when there's nobody there, when that is woken up to, if you like, then because every single emotion, the full spectrum of emotions can happen at any time and are completely and absolutely experienced and felt again by nobody, they just are there, then nothing is carried on. So you could say that sorrow or grief because you've lost a parent or anger comes up, but it's not suffering. It's when there's a belief that there's a person there, that there's a belief in suffering. But when this is seen, those same things can arise, but it's not perceived as suffering anymore.
You've been listening to an extract of Love Talks, a conversation with Mandy Salk on non-duality. To purchase the CD and hear the entire conversation, please visit mandysalk.com. This and other free audio downloads are available from nondualityleicester.com.